You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. This business talk show airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. here in the west coast of the United States. If you're listening to this show at some point in the future, possibly as a business podcast off of Apple iTunes or one of the other podcasting services that we are using, I would encourage you to consider listening to the show live during our broadcast times, heard exclusively here on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, to make better business decisions. If you're one of those folks that happen to be listening to us live today on octalkradio.net, well, then you get the extra privilege, if you want to, of possibly participating in my conversation today with Doreen White of W Interiors and Events. How do you do that, you say? Well, for our regular listeners, you already know this, but those first-time listeners, or those maybe who aren't familiar with the feature, find the community chat room section, octalkradio.net's website, log in. You can then post your thoughts and comments and questions. You'll be interacting directly with my producer, Paul Roberts. He will bring those thoughts to my attention, and possibly I will be able to work them into the conversation and the questions that I already have planned for our guest, Doreen. So without any further ado, let's turn our attention to our featured guest today. It is great pleasure for me to welcome, as I said, Doreen White of W Interiors and Events to Critical Mass, the radio show. Doreen, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here today.
Why don't we begin very simply by asking if you would be so kind, Doreen, as to tell our audience about your professional path to your firm, W Interiors and Events.
I would love to. I owned a furniture store for 10 years, and out of that business, my clients started asking me to host events for them and design events for them, and also to decorate their homes and vacation homes. And I had so much fun doing that, that when I closed my store after 10 years, it was a natural offshoot to just continue on with the event and interior design business.
Let's see if I understand this correctly. You had a retail space and a furniture store for a period of time?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'm going to take you back a little bit further. What was the genesis of that business then? How did you get started?
I actually worked for a major furniture retailer for 8 years and worked my way up in the company, and I was running half the company, and my cohort running the other half of the company. After 8 years, we both left, and we took a little time off, and then the two of us actually decided to start our own store, and it was called Cottonwood, and we came up with the brand and the identity and, you know, tried to do things a little bit more local vendors and things like that.
So you've been an entrepreneur and business person. You're like a serial entrepreneur now, then, huh?
Yes. And so that was really a great experience, and I learned a lot along the way because that was a larger business.
And a very different type of business, right? A retail footprint and inventory, and now the work that you're doing. That's a very different business model, I would suspect.
It is, and very quickly I saw that just organically that the consumers were wanting more. They didn't just want in the bricks and mortar experience. They actually wanted me to come to their homes and visit their homes so I would have a better understanding of what their needs are. And I really enjoyed that process.
So it was a very natural, it sounds like, you know, the inspiration for W Interiors and Events, it was kind of very natural outgrowth of your previous business into this one, yes?
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, let's talk about your firm, because in the newsletter that we had sent out earlier this week, I said that part of what we're going to talk about, and we're going to do it a little more detail in a few minutes, but, you know, your firm is, and you sort of alluded to that already in the beginning, you're doing you actually have more than one business inside the business. But tell us about W Interiors and Events.
Well, actually, it was funny because the other day I saw on HGTV they have a new show where someone is actually doing interiors and events. To me, it's always seemed like a natural fit because when people have events, not only do they want the clients to have fun, have a good time and a good experience, but they also want it visually to look good. So I really enjoy focusing on the visual side of the event, from everything from the lighting to the tabletop displays, to the music, everything that creates a mood and a feel. And I also do that in people's homes and businesses as well.
Let's see. I have the good fortune to know a couple and have had them on the show, event planners, and as well as I've had the good fortune to have several interior designers who have been on the program as well. And so, but until I was preparing to have you as my guest today here on the radio show, Doreen, I really hadn't thought about there are some common elements from what an interior designer does and what an event planner does. And that's sort of what I'm hearing in your answer about your current business.
Yes, and to have someone in terms of the event side to tie together the whole look, because a lot of times there could be a lot of scheduling and organizational elements related to an event, but to really have someone that ties all the individual vendors together with cohesive theme is something that I think the message of the event really gets transported to the clients and the people at the event. It's a strong statement.
You're really creating a space in which people kind of connect to the experience, either it's an event or maybe it's a person's home or business, but it's really using the space to enhance the experience. And one is a temporary in an event, and one is a more permanent with the interior design work. Is that fair?
Yes, that is very true. And when I do work on people's homes, what I really try to do is make it a very enjoyable experience for all. So a lot of times when people are working with a designer, it's because they're like, oh, I have to remodel the kitchen, or I'm going to tackle the living room now. And it's not on their fun to-do list. That's why they know they need to get it done, probably for a college graduation or just because it's old and worn and they need a little freshening up. But they really don't want to do it. They've been putting it off. And so I really try to make it a fun process and collaborate and involve everyone in the household.
We're going to take our first sponsorship break, Doreen. When we come back, I should say, I would like to ask you if you would share with our audience, of all the business experiences and lessons that you've learned through your career, is there a guiding principle that you have for how you're building and leading W Interiors and Events? So, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, Doreen White will share with us what we call here on Critical Mass, the radio show, her guiding principle. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plan and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn more about our executive peer group.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. If you are listening live, you have the opportunity off the community chat room section of octalkradio.net's website to log in with your Twitter handle or some way and communicate with my Paul Roberts. He is bringing ideas and thoughts to me, does it every show, and hopefully we can make you a part of this interactive live radio experience with Doreen White of W Interiors and Events. Doreen, before the break, I said we're going to ask you to share with our audience your guiding principle. Would you be so kind?
Yes, I would. I have the guiding principle of the golden rule, to really do unto others as you would like others to do unto you. I really, really treat the customers with respect and really validate their ideas and feelings and really work with them to merge together a vision that is part theirs and part mine, and it comes out a little different. You know, it comes out, as something great for everyone.
I'm a big proponent of collaboration, and it sounds like in that answer I heard a lot of a view of collaboration with you and your clients. Is that true?
Yes, it's very true, and it's interesting because I'm not a designer that has one look where everything looks the same way and people say, do you do contemporary, do you do traditional? And actually, I do current, but it's based on, you know, interviewing the clients and really figuring out what their likes and dislikes are, what colors and shapes they're drawn to, and then working with that.
I would suspect that many times you're helping clients sort of almost discover what they prefer. Many times, maybe they can't articulate it, but through the process, you end up delivering to them what was in their mind or in their mind's eye, but they didn't. Maybe they weren't able to come to it on their own. Is that true as well?
That is very correct. It's very interesting because I'm really careful with saying, do you like blue or green? Do you like hard or firm or soft sofas? It's very much show and tell. It's me, you know, showing different shades and saying, which do you prefer, kind of like the eye test, this one or this one, because everyone uses different language. Someone may say they love aqua and they want their room painted an aqua shade, and they would point to something that's very green, and somebody else would point to something very blue. So it really is very sensory and visual.
I said I believe in collaboration, and that's a part of the reason why we do this radio show, because invariably, Doreen, much of the business decisions that you're making as an entrepreneur and you made in running your other business as well are common kind of challenges or opportunities that are faced by other members, and I really do believe that. And people, the reason why people listen to this show, it gives them an opportunity to learn from your experiences and kind of your worldview perspective. Were you able to be as collaborative in working with your clients in your previous business, in your furniture business, as you've been able to be now in your event and your interior business?
I would say there's more of a freedom going out of the bricks and mortar, going into being an independent person, because the whole world is the oyster. When you do have a bricks and mortar business, you do use certain vendors and build relationships with those vendors to bring the best, you know, lead time and pricing to your clients. But it does preclude, you know, you can only have so many vendors and so much square feet. So it does sort of limit your choices.
Different business, too, isn't it? I've never been in a bricks and mortar business. I've always been in a business where you go to your clients and you're outward facing. But I have to imagine that it's a different business when you're domiciled in a bricks and mortar facility and people are coming to you and your goal is to sort of get them to come to your establishment and then stay there long enough to make purchases versus being able to go into their homes and in their places of business and work with them that way. I would think that would have to be a different kind of relationship as well.
It is. It is. The bricks and mortar does provide a visual for them to see what something looks like in a certain fabric or see how a certain setting is laid out. What it doesn't always do is it doesn't always translate into their home for them to be able to visualize that. And that's why there's been, you know, computer programs that come out that you can do room arrangements on, and even you can switch the colors on things that you see online, because visualization for some people is half the battle in designing space in their home.
I would believe that to be true, and I'll tell you, technology has been such a enabler for so many different businesses. It's a remarkable time in which we live, Doreen, because we really are seeing sort of it evolve much more quickly, and I can only imagine what the future holds for us relative to how technology is kind of helping us do our business and make it the customer experience even better.
Yes, definitely.
You know, I had the opportunity to meet you at an event put on by NABO, and I'm going to ask you to kind of explain the acronym, as well as I know that you're very active in the Orange County chapter as well, and I wonder if you would, for our audience, if you could kind of explain how NABO, how the organization, a little bit about what it is, and then how it's affected your business.
Well, first of all, it's just a phenomenal organization. It's the National Organization of Women Business Owners, the Orange County chapter, and it's a dynamic and vibrant organization. I joined and was a new member and was approached about taking on a big position, chairing their premier event, the Remarkable Woman Awards event that happens once a year in October. Last year it was at the Grove of Anaheim, and we honored three remarkable women for their achievements in business. And through that journey, I had the joy of working with the chapter's president, current president, Dr. Maureen Rhine, who is just an inspiration and just the caliber of person that you get to work with in that organization is so high, and it's just really enriching. It's all about education, learning and growing as a business person. They have success teams and power partners, and from the minute I joined the organization, it's just a group of women that want to help other women succeed in business. And they've got a phenomenal website, which is naboc.org, and a great administration department that can answer any questions. I really encourage business owners that might be feeling alone out there to join an organization like NABO to get that support.
So in your first year of being your charter year, as it were, of being a member in NABO, you took on the responsibility for the Remarkable Women's Conference?
Yes, and the event ended up having about 630 attendees, so it was a large-scale event, and just beautiful media, and just a lot goes into it. And I've always believed in just taking risks and kind of jumping into things and putting fear aside and just jumping in.
I had the good fortune of being there. Actually, I run CEO peer groups as well as doing the radio show and other things. And one of our members, Mari Kurtz, was one of the women that was recognized as a remarkable woman. And she invited me to be at the event. And I have to say, from an event planning perspective, that was an amazing event and a wonderful venue. And it was really, it's a big place, the Grove, but it felt very intimate that night, even though there were as many people in attendance as you say. It was a wonderful event, so great job.
Thank you, and they were such remarkable women. I mean, getting to work with and know Michelle Massise, Victoria Betancourt, and, of course, the incredible Mari Kurtz was just amazing, and hearing their speeches about their business journeys, it's just such a highlight every year. And I myself had gone to a Remarkable Women Awards dinner the year before, and I was so moved. I was moved to tears, and so I was just really proud and honored when they asked me to chair the event.
Well, earlier in the month of November, Victoria Betancourt was on Critical Mass, the radio show. I was out of town, but Paul, my producer, guest hosted that show, and she came on and told a bit about her story and what she, you know, kind of covered. I too was taken by her story. All three, I already knew Mari's story a bit, but hearing Victoria's was very inspiring. And I'm still attempting to get Michelle on the program. We haven't connected yet, but I'm sure at some point in maybe 2012 we'll have her on as a radio show guest.
Yeah.
I actually had Linda Pinson on, whose business is Out of Your Mind. You might know that name. She was an early coordinator, if you will, for the NABO Orange County chapter. So.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Yes, I do know her name. That's amazing.
So, it's a wonderful organization.
Yes,
why don't we move on? And I'm going to ask you, because I do believe so much of business is transferable, business knowledge and experience. And so we're going to take our second break. But when we come back, I'm going to ask you, Doreen, if you would share with our audience a current challenge facing your business. And what I'm hoping is you'll be able to explain the challenge, but also, and equally importantly, if you could share ideas that you're considering or possibly have begun to implement, that you're doing that in an attempt to mitigate this challenge, I think that would be a great learning moment for our audience. But first, here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Large companies with complex sales channels have sophisticated lead management needs. They require customized lead management systems and services and integration with additional systems. That's why, since 1981, these companies have relied on SmartLead by AdTrack, the only full-service lead management company with customized systems for lead management, Salesforce automation, and analytics. These systems are managed by each client's dedicated account manager and are integrated with SmartLead's in-house marketing services that include a contact center, email marketing services, print services, direct mail and fulfillment, and an ISO-certified warehouse. SmartLead by AdTrack. 3 decades of pioneering lead management best practices and systems for complex lead management needs. For more information, visit our website at smartlead.com.
If you are a Southern California business owner or executive, this message is for you. For over 17 years, Doug Gefella has been coaching executives, helping them create and improve the effectiveness of teams and individual team members. What makes Doug's approach unique and successful is his fundamental approach. Doug looks at the coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. Doug has helped hundreds of companies and led over 1,000 planning meetings that have changed lives and the course of many successful firms throughout Southern California. If you're interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn about our executive coaching and team development. Critical Mass for Business is a professional executive coaching and team development company and is the fastest growing business advisory firm in Orange County.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. If you are listening to the show live today, then please tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, when Wing Lam, co-founder of Wahoo Fish Tacos, will be our featured guest. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, then you simply need to find the November 30th, 2011 interview to listen to my interview with Wing Lam. Also, if you're looking for something to do in January, then I would encourage you to consider attending the TEDx Irvine event at the Irvine Marriott. It promises to be a great time. One of the featured speakers will be yours truly, Rick Franzi. So I'd love to see you out there, and we'll be talking more about the TEDx Irvine event to be held on January 19th. In future episodes of Critical Mass, the radio show. Let's turn our attention back to Doreen White. And Doreen, would you be so kind as to share a current challenge facing the firm?
I would. I would say a current challenge comes from the fluidity of the time that people work now. So there's an up and a down to technology. Because we're always on with email and cell phones, I think that there's a real challenge to really juggle personal and work obligations when you're building a business and also trying to have quality family time. And the fact that technology is always on, I think makes it sometimes challenging to do that.
Being an event planner, that part of your business, from what I understand of that profession, when it's on, you're on. That's a very demanding, very intense time frame when they're leading up to the event and certainly during the event.
Yes, I am. And the solution for that is, you know, I've worked on events. I worked with a wonderful Leanne Karkner from Lemon Lime Event Productions this summer on an event at the Ritz, and we did an event together. She has a totally different event company. I have my event company, and she brought me in to do things with decor, and she, you know, was the architect of some other large-scale things on the event. It was an event for about 550 people. So I think when you work with other people and you develop relationships with other people that do what you do, you also can use them as a resource when you're working by yourself, so you're not completely alone. You can sort of farm different parts out to each other.
You know, I said I'm a fan of collaboration, and I have noticed that over the couple of years. And I think to some degree the recession has caused some businesses, not yours necessarily, but other businesses to figure out how to be able to smooth out the peaks, if you will, without having to expend a lot of money to do it, either in, you know, employees or whatever that might be. And seeing entrepreneurs collaborate together and co-opetition, if you will, a little bit, is really, I think, one of these lessons that the recession has forced us to learn that I hope will be remembered after, you know, we get back to a different state of business when things are a little bit more vibrant in the economy as well.
Yes, I totally agree. Totally. And the other thing I wanted to add was, as much as technology can be a challenge, technology also helps me. You know, getting an iPad changed my life because now I can juggle things better. So on the one hand, technology is a lifesaver, and it actually makes everything much easier. But it's that, you know, constant 24/7, never shutting down that we all deal with that I think you have to personally take time for yourself, and you have to learn to say no, which I'm still working on.
How has the fact that you're now carrying an iPad affected, have you noticed any effect on your clients or prospects?
I think they like the immediacy of it. The fact that you can get information or get visuals very quickly is very appealing because we all don't have a lot of time. We're all very busy. So I think it's just an added value.
I agree, and I think there's a certain feeling that people get when someone shows up with a tablet computer. We're not just doing a commercial for Apple, ladies and gentlemen. There are other tablets out there, but clearly the dominant tablet in the marketplace today is the iPad. But I do believe when a service provider comes up with a tablet and they're comfortable with technology, I think that really halos the brand as well and sort of gives you a sort of cachet maybe that you wouldn't have if you were there with just pen and paper. Not that there's anything wrong with pen and paper, but it's just my sense.
I agree. Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing the challenge and a couple ideas on how you're mitigating those challenges. And as I said before we get into that conversation, that is transferable information and this increasing expectations of clients. And I think I've heard on the radio program many times, clients are perceiving, you know, they're much more focused on value as well when they're doing a transaction with a vendor and a service provider. They don't mind spending the money necessarily, but they're really sensitive to the value part of what are they going to get back from it as well.
Yeah.
Let's turn our focus a little bit then and ask you this question. Can you relate a past experience where you learned a valuable business lesson and it came through a difficult experience?
Yes, definitely. Starting my furniture business many years ago, I didn't have a lot of business experience. I had a lot of experience running the type of business, but not the back office experience. And I think early on, I looked to advisors like accountants and attorneys to tell me what to do. But I didn't do the research beforehand to lead them in a direction to let them know, you know, what I was really interested in or what I really needed them to find or give me information on. And it wasn't until later when I learned that, you know, they work for me. They can only help me if I know the information that I'm looking for.
I love asking the, sometimes I call it the painful business lesson commercial question, and I do ask it quite regularly here on Critical Mass, the radio show, because again, it's one of those opportunities for the audience to hear the answer from the guest and then hopefully factor it into, you know, avoiding that in the future if they can. What was it for you, Doreen, that helped you to realize that you had more responsibility, if you will, as it related to your trusted advisors? Was there a moment in time? Was there an event that happened? Or how did that realization materialize for you?
I think that early on, people are often very quick to structure the business very quickly, which was the case with me, sort of cart before the horse. We had signed the lease on our space and had started purchasing inventory, and we didn't pay enough attention to the structure of the business when it was early on being formed. So as we got into the business, you know, contracts and structure, they weren't exactly done the way we would have done them later after we had more knowledge of how business runs. And so, you know, looking back on it now, I think you need to be educated not only on your industry, but really on what it's going to take business-wise to run your business.
Wow, that's, you know, as you're answering that, I'm thinking, listening to you, and I'm connecting to other times here on Critical Mass, the radio show, where entrepreneurs have been on the show, and they've talked about, you know, once you spend the money or you give up the time, that's probably the hardest thing for an entrepreneur to get over. It's like, you know, the early decisions when you don't know what you don't know, and then you look back on it and you go, wow. Because sometimes in the startup of the business, you can really, especially at bricks and mortar, you can put a lot of your money that you've set aside to make this venture work into the business early, and you can't really recover it, you know, if you've made a decision that wasn't optimized at the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all in the structure of the business, really.
Let's look at the future, and can you share with our audience what's the opportunity or opportunities that you foresee for the business for growth? In other words, Doreen, let's say I have you back next year or in a couple of years out, and we're talking about the businesses. Of course, you being a serial entrepreneur, who knows, you may have started another business by then. But where do you see taking the business in the future?
Well, something that's really you know, that I've gotten into that's really been fun is I've been doing a lot of events at small businesses that, as part of their marketing and marketing budget, they have limited funds to allocate. You know, some is going towards web advertising, some is going towards print advertising, but they're starting to do more in-house events, direct marketing, so to speak, with customers. And I think that is, it's much more face-to-face, it's much more immediate, and, you know, you really go further with the customers that you do have, and they can bring a friend along. So I think it's a great way to do events. It's a smaller scale, and it's more intimate, but it is a win-win.
So can you tell me a little bit, I'm intrigued by that, it's, and I guess I'd like to learn a little bit more from your experience, if we could, Doreen. So can you give me, without naming names, if that's not appropriate, but could you give us a sense, the audience, for a sense for, because there's a lot of mid-market CEOs and business owners that listen to the radio program. That's really who our audience is. So how would this work for them and their business, an event like this?
Well, any product or service that they were doing some kind of marketing on or launching, they could have an in-house or at a site an event surrounding that with food and beverage and signage and maybe a raffle or a special offer to really get the event going with sort of those connectors within their business, their top clients. And they get a lot more face-to-face feedback and interaction that way instead of just doing something and then waiting for that response back. It's very immediate and it's very experiential to have an event.
You know, what you just said there at the end, too, I connect to, because when people tell stories about their past, they generally talk about experiences they've had, not so much things that they've purchased or gifts that they were given. And I could see how, especially during this time of the year when there's a lot of customer appreciation activities going on, you know, maybe after the holidays, something in the first quarter, an event that when people's schedules free up after, because this time of the year gets really crowded for people's calendars. But that's something that creates a shared experience with your clients or your supply base suppliers that I think what goes a lot further than a gift would go or a card or something like that as well.
Yes, definitely.
Interesting. And I do think, tell me what you think, but you know, the advent of social media, admittedly it's a technology, but I think what it's really demonstrating is how much people want to reach out to others, that when you have enabling technology that allows it to happen with great frequency, regularity, and ease, people do it on a regular basis just because it's so innate to our species, if you will. And it reminds me of how important doing events and getting your community together really is to a business in this day and age.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely, because then you're, you know, it's direct contact with your customers, hearing about what they like, and you're right in front of them, and they're also giving you feedback on things they'd like to see, and they're having a good time. They're having a good time at an event. So they remember that good time and associate it with you.
Excellent. If someone in our audience would like to learn more about you, your businesses, and sort of what we've talked about here on Critical Mass, the radio show today, Doreen, how do they find you online?
They would go to my website, winteriorsandevents.com, and it's all spelled out, A-N-D, no period after W, so winteriorsandevents.com, and they could go on my website and contact me. So,
is there anything else about you or any other interests that you have here in Orange County that I haven't thought to ask you about today on the program that you would like to share with our audience?
Just that, you know, I love what I do, and I love connecting with people and meeting people. And each new project is a new experience, you know. That's what makes it fun.
Well, having had the good fortune to attend an event that you were responsible for planning, I can say firsthand, and it was a large venue with a lot of people.
There was a lot of behind the scenes. It was a huge team effort. Many, many people worked very, very hard to put that together. But
I can only imagine being the new kid on the block. That's got to be an additional challenge. Because that's not, as you said, that's not the first year that NABO put on that event. So even bigger challenge to coordinate it all when you're the new person on the block. But say that, I thought it was an outstanding event.
Thank you. It was really fun for all.
I know everybody that was there was so impressed. I really have enjoyed your time with us here on the radio program. Thanks for being a friend of the show and agreeing to come on. And kind of welcome to the Critical Mass business community.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Have a good day.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, here on Critical Mass, the radio show, we constantly look for business leaders here in Orange County, Southern California, or around the world for that matter, that we can bring on to the program who have transferable knowledge,
ideas and experiences that you can learn from. You know, I'm a big believer, and I've said it many times, that you learn best from those examples of your peers, and that I know that experience is the best teacher, but sometimes lessons are best learned vicariously from the experiences of other business leaders. And for that reason, we do Critical Mass, the radio show here on octalkradio.net. And so this is Rick Franzi saying until the next time we have a chance to talk, which if you're listening live, that's tomorrow at 4 p.m. when my guest is Wing Lam, co-founder of Wahoo Fish Tacos. Anyway, until the next time we have a chance to talk, here's hoping that all your decisions moves your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on octalkradio.net.